Join us for an encouraging word from the Dominion Teaching Team. Here's the message.
Written by Paul. And so we're going to look at a guaranteed way to have joy in your heart tonight. Anybody for that? Okay, the first thing we want to do is some audience participation. And so we will see if I can advance slides. There we go. The audience participation is a thumbs up, thumbs down. And so you're going to communicate with me, so I need to see your thumb out here like this, horizontal. And I'm going to give you some words, and you tell me if that brings good thoughts or bad thoughts when I mention them. Okay? Thumbs up. Beautiful spring day. All right? Joy. Being fulfilled and satisfied. Doing pretty good. Laughing. All right? Being a slave. Oh. Being a servant. Obeying the master. The boss. Freedom. Doing what I want to do. Okay, we got some mixed emotions here tonight. We got some thumbs up and some thumbs down. So we're going to use some of those concepts as we go through. I want to start with the scripture in Philippians 1. It says, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons. And what I want to focus in on this evening is Paul saying he's a bondservant. So that doesn't sound to me like initially a very good way to have joy, and yet we're telling you that Philippians is all about joy. So here's some of the words that are translated as bondservant. Doulos is the word here that's translated bondservant. It's used about 127 times in the Bible as being servants of various kinds. And the root word of that in the Greek is deo, which is to bind or to tie. And so when we think about being a servant, a slave, or being bound up or tied, you would think those probably are not very positive things to think about. So how are we going to tie those to joy? Well, let's show you. What we find is that American society really loves freedom. Our national anthem says we're the land of the free. And we believe that as a society, we are founded on the concept of freedom. And so what's the definition of freedom? Not under the control or in the power of another, able to act or to do as one wishes. That sounds like a pretty good idea. Not having to do what somebody else tells you is freedom. Let me ask you a question. Do you think the original pilgrims came over were looking for freedom? Yes and no. They were looking for the freedom to practice their religion. They were not looking for freedom from religion as it's interpreted today. So they wanted to be free to do what God wanted them to do. So I want to ask you a question. What's your picture of God? Is this your picture of God? Is Santa Claus? What's the characteristic of Santa Claus? You go sit on his lap and you ask him for stuff. And that's the only time you ever see him is when you want something. And you only see him like once a year. And then he looks at his list and he decides if you've been good enough to get what it is you want. I wonder how many people treat God that way. He's just the dispenser of gifts. And he's the judge of your actions. Well, let's look at another one. Maybe he's Superman. What's the characteristic of Superman? He only shows up when you're in trouble. So you live your life as you want to live, do everything by yourself, but if your car's going over the cliff, here comes Superman to save the day. No, that was Mighty Mouse. Not much of a relationship with Superman. He's just your get out of jail card when you're in trouble. Well, maybe God's the one holding the whole world in his hands. So big, so magnificent, that you can't really get your mind about it. You can't really understand him. Besides, he's busy with a few other billion people. Can you have a relationship with a God that's that big and that magnificent that you just can't get your hands around? Well, that doesn't seem to work either. Can you see that one, I hope? Maybe God's just a beam of light. He's the one that was in the Star Wars movie. He was the Force. And he's just some kind of a force out there for good. How do you know it? How do you get acquainted with a force? Is that your picture of God? He's just something out there that you can't really get in contact with? There you go. Or maybe God's just not paying attention. He's got other things to do, and you're just a little peon somewhere on the earth, and you can not be important to God. Maybe he's not around when you're asking for help or when you have some need for having a relationship with him. This is my favorite. God is an angry judge. He's just waiting for you to goof something up so he can whack you good. My picture of that when I had that image in my mind was we had a coach in high school, and he had taken a baseball bat and he'd shaved it flat so it was about 3/4 inch thick but still full bat size. And he walked around with that in his hand during PE class. And if you weren't working hard enough, he'd whack you on the rear end with that bat. Is that your picture of God? There was a stupid song that was kind of popular a few years ago on Christian radio called God's Gonna Get You for That. I hated that song. That's not God, not the one I serve. But this is what Satan really likes to get Christians to believe. Yeah, there is a God, but boy, you got to watch out for him. He'll get you. Or maybe you're just a character in God's video game, and he's going to see how high he can make you jump. He's going to put you in various battles and see how it turns out. He's going to see if you can get to the next level or not. It'd be interesting if you could see that clearly enough. He's got the piano hanging over the guy's head, and he's fixing to push the smite button. Are we just characters in God's video game? Well, I don't see anybody being happy about that. So here's the truth. Your image of God determines your relationship with him. It also determines your willingness to make him Lord of your life. You know, if you believe God's playing video games with you, you're probably not too enthused about being in the game. Because what I've seen with most characters in video games is sooner or later they get killed by something and you have to start all over again. So your image of God determines your relationship with God. If you don't trust him, you won't be willing to turn your life over to him. If he's any one of those characters I just went through, you're not going to want to be a slave to that kind of a character or a servant. And so this is the original thing that Satan presented to Adam and Eve. It says, now the serpent was more subtle than all the beasts of the fields which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, you may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but in the tree in the midst of the garden, God says you should not eat it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. God's lied to you. For God knows that the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. God's holding out on you. He hadn't been honest with you. And then you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So in this case, Satan presented God as being selfish, as not being truthful, as being somebody you couldn't trust. Why would they believe that? Scripture says that they got to talk to God face to face every day. And yet when Satan comes along and says he's not to be trusted, he's holding out on you, he doesn't want what's best for you, they believe that. Satan does not have any new tricks. He's going to give you this very same story. God doesn't want what's best for you. You realize the falseness in this story? They already knew everything that was good. They knew more about good than we do. All Satan could offer them was to know some bad stuff. So, the devil is a liar. So if my sound booth, you'll hit that icon at the top right button there, we'll sing a little song. Start it over again. Didn't hear it all. Once more. Didn't start. Song, we'd be sitting in the Garden of Eden tonight. Yeah. Click on the one at the bottom. Let's all sing it together. This one, the one at the bottom, has a few more bars in it. So sing it with me this time.
Is a liar, he doesn't tell the truth. The devil is a liar, he doesn't tell the truth. The devil is a liar, he doesn't tell the truth. So I'm not listening to him. The devil is a liar, he doesn't tell the truth. The devil is a liar, he doesn't tell the truth. The devil is a liar, he doesn't tell the truth. So I'm not listening to him. The devil is a liar, he doesn't tell the truth. The devil is a liar, he doesn't tell the truth. The devil is a liar, he doesn't tell the truth. So I'm not listening to him.
Now I hope that little melody kind of gets stuck in your mind and you'll wake up in the middle of the night singing that. Because that's a truth you can hang on to. How do you know if the devil's lying? If he's talking. That is a scriptural truth that'll serve you well throughout your life. So what does scripture tell us? In John chapter 8, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So if we really want to be free, we're going to have the truth, and that truth is, what is your image of God? What I showed you was a bunch of images of God that aren't true. So if you're going to believe God and you're going to trust in him and you're going to have joy in your life, you've got to know the real God, and you can't listen to what Satan tries to convince you. Let me give you my view of God as a teenager. I heard in Sunday school class that God is love, but the message didn't sink in. My image was God is rules. God is about suffering. God's not about making me happy. I won't have any fun if I serve God. And so I grew up in church, and we'd frequently have missionaries that would come into the service, and they would tell you all about their exploits in the field and how it was like being a missionary. And I was afraid that God might call me to the mission field. And I didn't want to live in a mud hut. And I didn't want to eat roasted spiders. And I didn't want to eat monkey brains. So I didn't want to be a missionary. I just can't trust God in my life. I better keep things in control. God will just make me miserable. He'll send me to some place I don't like to go, make me do things I don't want to do. I can't trust God. What a lie. Because what I failed to recognize at that time is God made me, and He knows how to make me happy. He built me in a certain way, unique from you. And He knows me so well that He knows what would make me feel happy and fulfilled. He didn't create me to live in a mud hut. Don't know why, but I'm glad. He knows what fits with me. So what happened? Later in life, I did go on some mission trips. On one trip, I was in missions. We were building a church with my dad and me and my son. What a pleasure to have three generations all there together, working, building a building, helping each other. That was a wonderful experience. On that trip, I was in charge of putting in the electrical wiring for the little church we were building. And so Jason helped me, and we pulled all the wires in, and we got the lights strung up and all the circuits built, and everything worked the way it was supposed to, and surprisingly, the lights came on and worked. And so at the dedication service, I was talking to one of the local guys who had some electrical background, and he began to weep as I was describing to him, here's the circuits, here's what this switch does, and so forth. And he said that he had electrical background a little bit, and he was afraid that they were going to ask him to wire up the church. And he didn't really know how to do it. And so he had been praying that somebody would help him to get the church wired up. And so there I was on the mission field, with the right set of skills, an answer to somebody's prayer, and I began to weep. I wasn't eating spiders, I was having fun. Had the right skills at the right time. On another trip, I was down there, and I was supposed to speak for the evening service, and the guy that was going to be the translator had gone to town to pick up some supplies, and he wasn't back. And it was 20 minutes before church was going to start, and I didn't have a translator. What are we going to do? I'm out in the parking lot of the motel there, pacing back and forth, looking down the road to see if he's coming yet. Truck pulls in the parking lot. The guy I'd never met before. He was a missionary on his way to South America, driving through Mexico, just happened to stop in this town, just happened to stay at this particular motel, just happened to be there 20 minutes before service to translate for me. God had it all put together. He's capable of making a plan that just makes it so fulfilling. So I had all of those coincidences. You know the definition of coincidence? When God does a miracle, it remains anonymous. I was on the mission field having a great time. I can turn my life over to God because He knows how to do it right. See, God's plan wasn't to make me miserable. It was to equip me with exactly the right skills and abilities to do the task He asked me to do, provide me with an opportunity to use them in ways that would be fulfilling and satisfying to me. He didn't want to make me miserable. He wanted to fill my life with joy. What a fool I was to not trust Him. Psalm 37 tells us the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delights in His way. There's a couple of ways you can read this scripture. When you turn your life over to God, He's going to put your life in order and lead you to the right places. And It says he, in this case you see the word he is capitalized, and referring to God. God delights in giving your life joy. He has a lot of fun making things turn out right for you. I think I can trust somebody with that kind of attitude. Inconsequentially, I get to have some fun and to get delighted in it too. So here's the other little verse to that course. I give my life to Jesus, he loves me, this I know. I give my will to Jesus, he loves me, this I know. I give my will to Jesus, he loves me, this I know. I trust his plan for me. That is true joy. So, here's the lie of Satan. He's going to tell me that doing what I want to do is going to be freedom, but the truth is, what I want to do is really not freedom. When I think I'm being free, I'm actually in bondage to my wrong thoughts or to Satan's plan for my life. Not God's plan, but Satan's plan. Because I'm going to follow one plan or the other, like it or not. I'm either going to do it God's way or Satan's going to have his way and lead me in a different direction. And so what feels like freedom is actually the path to unhappiness. I was unhappy when I was afraid God was going to make me eat spiders. And so I thought, I'll be free. I'll run away from that. Not knowing that that was the place that God was going to use me to bring me great joy. I believed a lie. And therefore, I wouldn't be willing to turn my life over to him. So here's the scripture. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether to sin to death or of obedience unto righteousness. So this scripture is telling us you have, whoever you obey, you're going to be in slavery to. I can be in slavery to myself. I have found that I make myself miserable when I do that. At our company one time, we had a program where we were doing away with the supervision on shifts, and we made the guys be self-managing. One of the guys came up to me and told me one day, he says, I don't like being the boss of me. Because when he had a boss, he could always blame it on them, and now he had to blame it on himself, because the problems he get into was things that he didn't want to have to deal with. And so when we're obeying somebody, even ourselves, we're actually in a form of bondage. Why not be a slave to God? Why not serve his will instead of your own will? Because Satan's going to do everything he can to get you out of God's will and into something you won't like. But God be thanked that you were servants to sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that this form of doctrine which was delivered to you, and ye became the servants of righteousness. We used to follow things that weren't good for us, and because we follow things that are righteousness, now we have lots of good things. But when you're servants to sin, you were free from righteousness. Is that something you want to be free from? That's where the happiness is. And so if we're free from that, we're actually in bondage. And so again, what looks like freedom is actually bondage. What appears to be being tied down to God is actually where the freedom is. Have you ever noticed that most of God's things are backwards? If you want to be prosperous, you give. If you want to keep your life, you give it away. So anything that makes sense to you is probably not God's will, and probably not the best way for you. This scripture here, verse 21, actually tells us that the end of following our own will or Satan's will is death. That's not a good thing. Let's look for something better. This one says, but being made free from sin, we become servants to God and have your fruit. How many of you want fruit? That's the good stuff that comes in your life. And it comes from being a servant to God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So he's offering us a plan that's better. But we have to give our plan that's bad in order to get that. So Satan told the same lie when he came to Eve. He said, if you'll take charge of your own life, you can be free of all these restrictions from God. You can eat of any tree you want to. You don't have to obey and eat of all the trees except one. What he was offering them was not freedom to eat of everything, but bondage. What happened to them next was they got kicked out of the garden and they couldn't eat of any of the trees. They had to grow their own. Satan will offer you that very same choice. You can be free. You can do what you want to do. But what he's offering you is bad stuff. Don't fall for it. So has that ever happened before in Scripture? King Solomon, he was one of the wealthiest men in the world. He had everything. He had total freedom. He could do anything he wanted. There wasn't anyone that could tell him no about anything he wanted to do. And he had the resources to do it. He had an income of $3.5 million per day, just in gold. And it says not to count all the other stuff that was coming in. Think you could be happy on $3.5 million a day? I think it'd be pretty miserable myself because I couldn't spend it that fast. He had 1,400 Cadillacs in his garage. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines. He built anything he wanted to. It took him 13 years to build his house. It was so big. This guy had everything. So let's see how life turned out for him. Anything I wanted, I would take. I denied myself no pleasure. I even found great pleasure in hard work, a reward for all my labors. But as I looked at everything I'd worked so hard to accomplish it, it was all so meaningless, like chasing the wind. There was nothing really worthwhile anywhere. Does that sound like freedom to you? Could do anything he wanted, anytime, day or night. And yet he found out it was meaningless. Most of us think, you know, if I had a little more money, a little more time, maybe another car, a boat, there's always something that would make us happy. If we read the story of Solomon, he says it doesn't amount to anything. He said, I observed everything going on under the sun, and it really is all meaningless, like chasing the wind. I bet most of us don't believe that. Because we think if we had everything we wanted, we'd be happy. We ought to look at that story. That story is telling us something. What is the way to happiness, getting everything you wanted? Here's a guy that tried it. Well, maybe I could do a better job than he did. Said he was the wisest man around, so he must have made some pretty good choices somewhere. He made some bad ones too. But. So how to get out of being a slave? We find that in Romans, it says, don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteousness. Thank God, once you were slaves to sin, but now you wholeheartedly obey his teaching that we have given you. Now you are free from slavery to sin, and you become slaves to righteous living. Remember when we started out, everybody gave a thumbs down to slaves. And yet what we're seeing is that being free and being not a slave actually makes you a slave and makes you unhappy. And these scriptures tell us the only path to happiness is being this slave to righteousness. Many of us don't want to make that choice. And so by not making that choice, then we make wrong choices, and we ended up with the wrong things in our life. We find out we're not as happy and joyful as we thought we wanted to be. Proverbs tells us what about people who trust themselves? Those who trust in their own insight are foolish. We all think we can figure things out. We know what to do. I know which car to buy and which one's going to make me happy. I want that big, long limousine. I can figure that out for myself. Not according to Scripture, it says you're foolish. But anyone who walks in wisdom is safe. Where do we get that wisdom? From God. Romans said, therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. Now, Satan will try to convince you that you do. Satan's philosophy is whatever you want to do, you should do it. This scripture says you're not under obligation to do those kind of things that are not good for you. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But through the power of the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. So this scripture is telling us that the more we turn our life over to God, the more joy we're going to have. But wait a minute. God wants me to follow a bunch of rules. He wants me to be miserable. Let's go back to the song again. The devil is a liar. He doesn't tell the truth. I will bet you that you're struggling with some of that in your own mind. We talk about that. He tries to think, well, no, you don't want to do that. Yes, you do. You do want to follow God. It really is a secret to happiness. So here's Satan's message. If it feels good, do it. How many people are you seeing do that in our world today? Walk down the street in places where people are doing it and ask them how many of them are happy. I heard a guy one time, he used to sing in bars. He says the way to get a big tip when you're singing in bars, make them cry. Because they're all sitting in a bar unhappy about something. Thinking they're having fun, but really covering up their sadness. For that's what Satan's trying to convince them to do. If it feels good, do it. This will make you happy. I don't think so. You don't have to go to a bar to be unhappy. You can go sit in church every Sunday and be unhappy. Trying to follow your own way. I know how to fix my wife. If she'd just do this, I'd be happy. You know, if I just had a little better job, I'd be happy. Yeah, I go to church all the time, but I'm not happy. What's going on? You believe in the lie. The truth is, the way to joy is to yield control to God, and becoming a servant to God is the path to joy. It's just the opposite of what the world would want to convince you of. What happens then if you're one who follows God? Let's look at Deuteronomy 28. There's several scriptures here we want to look through and see what it tells us about that. And it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you to do today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations on the earth. We're going to have to obey these commandments. We already rebel against that. It's not that hard. There's only 10 of them. Now, they made it a lot harder. I think they turned it into 3,000 when the scribes and Pharisees got through with it. So what else happens if you're following God? Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. In other words, it doesn't matter where you go, you're going to be blessed. Blessed shall be you in the city and in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, your kids, your family, the produce of your ground, your job, the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, the offspring of your flocks. He's going to bless what it is you're doing in life. Blessed shall be when you come in and when you go out. I don't know about my house. I'm either in the house or I'm out of the house. And either way, I'm blessed. That's what happens when you follow God. I would think you'd be saying, where do I sign up for that? It'll cause your enemies to rise. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come against you one way and flee before you seven ways. Now think about a compass for a minute. There's eight directions of a compass, north, northeast, east, and so forth around the. And so the enemy comes at you. Sometimes we have people that are enemies. Satan is an enemy for one. And it says they come at you one direction, but they flee seven directions. Why don't they flee eight directions? Because you're standing on the eighth, and they got to go all directions that you're not. How would you like Satan to have that attitude toward you? I'm going to run seven directions from him anyway but where he's at. I'd say that'd be pretty good joy. The Lord will command blessings on all your storehouses, your bank accounts, all which you set your hand, your job, and your off hours while you're remodeling your house or taking care of your garden or whatever it is you like to do. He'll bless you in the land which the Lord God is giving you. He will grant you plenty of goods, the fruit of your body, the increase of your livestock, the produce of your ground, the land which the Lord swore your fathers to give you. God's got promises for us, waiting for us. Here's how to claim them. The Lord opened you his good treasure, the heavens, to give you rain on your land in its season, to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. You won't be in debt. That's the kind of blessings that comes from turning yourself over to God. You'll be the head and not the tail. You'll be above only. So if you're in a wrestling match, you're going to always be the one on top. That good? And you shall turn aside from any words, so you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day to the right or left, to go after other gods to serve them. We don't serve other gods, right? Not in our society. Beg to differ. Many people have themselves put up on the throne and they're serving themselves. That's a God that goes around with you everywhere you go because it's you. As Christians, can you have other gods? I think you have to be careful about that. Because when I put my thoughts above his thoughts, I'm actually serving me. And I fall out of these blessings that he just promised. But I say, you know, we had Solomon with $3.5 million a day unhappy. And yet, here's God showing us a way you can have everything that you need and want and desire by following my plan. And you won't be unhappy. That's a pretty good deal. So what's Galatians? Christ has set us free to live a free life. Wait a minute. I just been saying you got to be a slave to him, and this scripture says you're going to be free. Again, we're back to the fact that God's ways are just the opposite of us. The way to be free is turning your life over to God. He's going to take you in places that you will be blessed and happy. Scripture says, the Lord is my shepherd. He's going to tell me where to go. The result is, I shall not want. If I decide where to go, I'm probably going to get lost. Been there, done that. So he's set us free to live a free life. So we want to never again put on the harness of slavery. Now the harness of slavery he's talking about here is the harness of being enslaved to our own thoughts or to what Satan has planned for us. Being enslaved to the concept of I'm free when really you're not. Another scripture in Psalm. Delight yourself in the Lord and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Did that happen in my life? My desire was to not go to the mission field and not eat spiders. He gave me the desires of my heart. I haven't eaten a spider yet. He sent me to the mission field where I could have some really wonderful times. My desire changed. He gave me the desire to want to help people. They were in Mexico. I went there to help them. It was fun. He gave me the desire of my heart. Still no spiders. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will bring it to pass. So the way to get the desires of your heart is to commit it to God. And you'll be surprised at how wonderful goodness comes out of that. This is another scripture I really like. The Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Remember I was talking to you about what the serpent said to Eve? God's not giving you the good stuff. He's holding it out on you. He's not going to let you eat of this really, 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 really good tree. He's hiding stuff from you in knowledge. Learn this scripture. And when Satan comes to you and says, here's a way that you can be happy, you can come back with this scripture here. It says, no good thing will he withhold me if I walk uprightly. God is not going to hold out on me. He won't do it. But Satan will try to convince you he is. Man, if you follow God, you won't ever have any more fun again. Beg to differ. It'll be a better fun. It'll be a joy that doesn't depend on your circumstances. Remember, we're studying the book of Philippians, which was written from Paul while he was in jail. I'm not too enthused about going to jail. But Paul went and he was happy. Because God turns it around and gives us a joy that doesn't depend on what our circumstances are. And yet while he's doing that, he's giving us better and better and better circumstances. It's a can't lose deal. But what about this scripture? This says, come unto me, all you are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. So who's carrying the heavy burdens? Those that are trying to do it their way. Then he says, take my yoke upon you. Whoa. Problem. I thought I was going to be free. And here God says he's going to put a yoke on me. What's a yoke for? Yoke's what you put around your shoulder so you can carry a load. I don't really like yokes. And yet, here's God said he's going to give me one, so maybe Satan's right. Maybe I don't want to get into this deal. Read the rest of the scripture. Take my yoke upon me. Let me teach you. I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So the first scripture says you're under a heavy burden. He says, put my yoke on, and then you'll have rest. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. Now, he doesn't say you can go anywhere you want, do anything you want to do. He says, put my yoke on you, go where I want you to go, do what I want you to do, and you'll be happy about it. My yoke is easy is an interesting concept. What they did when they put a yoke on an animal was if it didn't fit right, when they got to pulling in the plow or whatever, the wagon or whatever, it would rub on their shoulder and make a sore spot. So what they would do is they'd take the yoke and they'd see where it fit and where it didn't fit. And they would make it easy. They'd go in there with some sanding and make it fit exactly. So the yoke for this animal didn't necessarily fit the other animal. Do you know my yoke won't fit you? What God's plan is for my life fits me perfectly. And as long as I'm doing that, I'm really happy. I'm really comfortable because God is helping me do the things I need to do. And he's prepared the way. And he gave me a custom-made yoke. And that's why it says it's easy. It means it doesn't have any scratchy parts. It doesn't cause me any trouble. Making me eat spiders would be a hard thing. So he eased my yoke and sent me to the mission field where there weren't any spiders to be eaten. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. It fits you exactly. You know where we get in trouble in the church? Put on somebody else's yoke. There's things that I do that give me great pleasure in the church. There are other jobs in the church that would make me miserable. But if I listen to God, he'll say, do this. I'm not asking you to do that over there. That's for somebody else to do. There's somebody over there that'll really enjoy that job. You won't. But you'll like this one. And sometimes we make the mistake of letting somebody else give us their plan for our life. That's no better than trying to follow our own plan. So if I come up to you and say, why don't you do this job? That's me. That's putting you in bondage. Jesus comes and says, you're really good at this. You'll have fun doing this. That's why the yoke is easy. Now, having said that, I don't think he calls anybody to sit in the chair and do nothing. I think each of us have a yoke to put on. But whatever yoke we put on, if we'll follow God, we'll fit. And we'll have so much fun with it. I'll bet you there's some people that wouldn't like being up here where I am tonight. But I like it. Because God gave that to me as a place to do, as a job to do. And it fits me exactly. And so it's not just me, it's you as well. So let's keep going with a couple more scriptures. Here's one of the things that we run into that causes us to have the wrong image of God. This was a problem I had when I was a younger folk. It says, no fear exists where his love is. Perfect love gets rid of fear. You remember when I started telling you about being afraid of being a missionary? I was really afraid of God. God, I can't trust you. If I follow you, you're going to put me someplace that make me miserable. I was afraid of God. What was wrong? I didn't know about God's love in the depth that I needed to know about. My image of God was wrong. My image of God now is he stands beside me and he hugs me. And he puts his arm around me and he says, come on, I'm for you. I want you to be a success in your life. Man, if you'll do this, you'll really enjoy this. He's constantly working in my life and showing me what to do and how to do it, giving me the right skills. Do you know God always prepares you before he asks you to do something? I didn't know I was going to wire churches in Mexico. I thought I was volunteering to help wire a orphanage when I was a teenager. God preparing me for something he knew I was going to do 20, 30 years later. I'd need that skill. God's plan. So why do I not follow God's plan? I'm afraid of him. I don't think he's got my best interest in heart. He wants me to do stuff I don't want to do. Not true. He loves me. He made me a certain way. And when he asks me to do stuff, it's going to be because he made me that way and he's already given me the skills to do it. And he loves me. He's not going to put me in positions to hurt me. Do you know I put a yoke on my kids when I was young? I was raising small kids. My yoke was, don't touch that stove, that'll burn you. But I want to touch the stove. Don't go in the street. A car might hit you. I like playing in the street. Don't stay out after 11 o'clock. Bad stuff happens late at night. I want to stay out late. My yoke that I put on my kids was because I loved them. And the things I told them not to do was because it was bad for them. The things I let them do were all good for them. And as imperfect a parent as I was, it worked because I loved them. Now take that and apply that to God. He loves me so much that the only thing he's going to tell me no about are things that's going to hurt me. And so if I say, I want this brand new car with this huge engine in it, he's going to say no. You don't need that because you don't have enough discipline to drive the speed limit and you're going to run off the road and kill somebody. You need to drive this little car till you learn how to control it before I give you the big car. When God says no, it's because he loves us. And the more we trust him, the more yeses we're going to get. Do you know my kids got older and learned how to obey? Give them more and more freedom to do stuff. I actually got to where I didn't tell them they had to come in at 11 o'clock at night because they would do it on their own. And then, sometimes I let them stay out later because I knew I could trust them. God loves us. He wants to provide us with that kind of direction, that kind of help. Here's another scripture that absolutely revolutionized my understanding of God. It was in there all the time. I'd even read it before, but one day it exploded in my heart. This is Jesus talking. If you've got a red letter Bible, this would be in red because it's Jesus saying the words. He's talking to his disciples. He says, that the world may know that you have sent me. Or he's actually praying in the presence of the disciples, talking to God. He says, the world may know that you have sent me and you have loved them, the disciples, as you have loved me. Now, the beginning of this scripture passage says, I pray not only for the disciples, for everybody else that's going to believe in me. So this scripture applies to you. And look what I've underlined. God loves you as much as he loves Jesus. That can't be right. What would God do for Jesus? Is there anything you can think of that God would not give to Jesus that was good for him? This scripture says he loves me as much as he loves Jesus. So all the good things he'd do for Jesus, he'll do for me. All the guidance he'd give to Jesus, he'll give to me. That is a secure place to be in. I truly believe that God loves Jesus with everything that's in him. Therefore, he loves me with everything that's in him. Everything that God can think of, every thought that he has is for my benefit. Scripture says us that the thoughts that God has for us are like the grains of sand on the beach. Go down to Galveston sometime and get you a 5-gallon bucket and count how many grains of sand are in there. Then multiply that by the number of 5-gallon buckets on all the beaches in the whole world. That's how much God thinks about you. I'd say that's somebody I can trust. Would you believe that? So what happens when you become a slave of God? You start doing the things he wants you to do. Isn't it like God? He changes it. I'm going to be your slave. Whatever you tell me to do, I'm going to do it. And then he comes along with this scripture. You are my friends when you do the things I command you. I'm no longer calling you servants. Because servants don't understand what their master is thinking and planning. No, I've named you friends because I've let you in on everything I've heard from the Father. This is a powerful, powerful scripture. We have to become servants of God. We have to give our will to him. We have to say, I'm going to do things your way. Not going to do it my way. I'm going to listen to what you have to say. And he says, okay, now that you've become my servant, I'm going to make you my friend. And instead of just telling you what to do, we're going to go into this scripture here. It says, I'm going to tell you what I'm thinking and planning. That's a different level of obedience. I would much rather work for a boss that comes in and says, you know, in the next 6 months, we're going to be doing this. And here's some things you're going to have to do in order to help us to get to this goal. That's a lot more fun than the boss coming in and says, okay, it's Monday, do this. I'll come back tomorrow and tell you what to do on Tuesday. I had one of those bosses, too. I didn't like him. But when I know the plan, when God talks to me as a friend, when he lets me know what's going to happen ahead of time, and he'll do that, what joy it is to serve him. You see, we are all creatures of destiny. God has a destiny for your life, not just a job, things to do, a destiny, something that will make you magnificent in what God has called you to do. And if you'll listen to him, he'll help you get to that destiny. He'll take you someplace you had never thought you'd go before and make you so successful at that that you'd just be totally amazed. God loves to amaze you with how his plan turns out. Anybody ever had that experience? Been amazed at what God's done in your life? He likes doing that because he loves you. So here's the picture of God I think you ought to have in your minds. The God who loves you. The God who puts his arms around you. The God that says, I'm going to hold you really close to me. And I'm going to tell you what's good for you. And if you'll trust me enough to listen to what I'm telling you in your life, you'll have so much fun. You'll be so successful. You'll be so blessed. But you do have to listen. And I want you to listen because I love you and you love me. And so when you give yourself to me, you don't have to be afraid of what I'm going to ask you to do. God's not going to ask you to do stuff that make you miserable. He's going to ask you to do stuff that helps you meet your destiny and be more fulfilled than you ever thought you could be. Because you see that hunger that you feel in your heart, God gave it to you. You say, man, if I could just do this, I'd be really happy. Sometimes that's what God wants for you too. He'll say, you know, if you'll do this, you'll be in that position to be really happy and fulfilled. And so Paul had learned that lesson. He's saying, here I am in jail, but boy, do I have so much joy because I am fulfilling the purpose that God has for me. And in the process of him having joy, he told us to have joy, and he wrote a third of the New Testament, and we're still enjoying that today because God had a destiny for him that he could fulfill, and he was fulfilling it with joy. He was having joy in his life by following what God wanted him to do. So God's going to tell us his plans. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. I don't think I even knew this scripture when I was afraid of God. Because I thought his plans for me were going to make me unhappy. I thought his plans for me were going to have me eating spiders. But this scripture says, nope, my plan is to prosper you. I don't have any plans to harm you. Sometimes when we get into a hard circumstances, I've had some hard circumstances occasionally in my life, but it wasn't God trying to harm me. Usually it was Satan trying to harm me, or sometimes my own stupidity. That has played into it a few times as well. But God's plan is not to harm me. God's plans are to give me a future and to give me hope. His future is what I want. His future is what I need. His future is where my happiness is. His future is where my joy is. All I've got to do is turn my life over to him to get there. Kind of like if I want to get to some distant place across town, the first thing I do is get in the car. If I want to get to my destiny, the first thing I got to do is get into God's plan. It's a good plan. Even on hard days, it's a good plan because it's going to turn out good for me eventually. It's an I can't lose plan. Joy comes from following God. So you too can have joy. The secret is to surrender control. As long as you're in control, then you're probably not going to head for joy. As long as you give up control, God's going to take care of doing the rewards and doing the things that make you happy and fulfilled and giving you a life full of joy. So you need this picture in your mind. The devil is a liar. He doesn't tell the truth. The devil is a liar. He doesn't tell the truth. He don't want you to have this picture in your mind. He doesn't want you to see how much God loves you. He wants to convince you that if you follow God, it's going to lead you into problems. It's going to be miserable. It's going to be hard. Don't believe it. Sing the little song. Here's truth. God loves you. God wants to put his arm around you in a big hug every single day. And he's saying, look, here's the plan I got for you today. You're going to like it. And even in the hard times, he's got a good plan. I shared with you when I spoke before about how I went to the hospital and they were going to amputate my leg. That's a hard day. While I was in the hospital, God visited me. Best thing that ever happened to me was going to the hospital. That wouldn't have been on my plan, but God knew what he was doing, and he changed my life, and he gave me more joy, and I've been able to share my testimony with literally hundreds of people and brought joy to them. Last night, I was at a hospital talking with a guy who's going into surgery today, and he was so encouraged by my testimony and how God had met me that he was feeling great. I'll go to the hospital with a plan like that because I've got a God who loves me. He's going to put his arm around me, and he's going to make even my bad days turn out good. Where is joy coming from? Not from doing things my own way, but from doing things God's way. Perfect love. God loves me so much that he's going to make even the bad days turn out good. He's going to fill my life with joy. And so my joy meter is directly proportional to how closely I'm following God. And my lack of joy is directly proportional when I'm trying to run things myself. It's just a fact. And I keep having to learn that lesson over and over again. I want you to have this picture in your mind. The God who loves you, that turning your life over to him will bring you ultimate joy. More joy than you can ever believe. You just have to have patience and see how it turns out. So would you stand with me tonight? Make a commitment in your heart tonight that you're going to quit following your plan and follow God's plan. He wants you to have joy. And to do that, it's simple. All you have to do is be his servant. Be a slave to God is the secret to happiness. So let's pray together. Lord, we thank you that you love us so much. God, that you want the very best for us every day, day in and day out, that you've got a good plan for us to give us a hope in the future. So now, Lord, we commit ourselves to you to follow your plan. We're going to recognize that the secret to joy comes from surrender to you. And when Satan comes in our life and tells us, you don't want to follow God's plan, you want to follow your own plan, we're going to say the devil is a liar. He doesn't tell the truth. I'm not going to listen to him. And so every time I hear Satan tell me that, I'm going to say, nope, you're a liar. God loves me. God wants me to have joy. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to commit my life to you. I'm going to listen to what you say. Lord, we give you praise that we can commit ourselves to you because we know how much you love us. Amen.
This is the conclusion of the teaching. If you would like prayer, you can email us at prayerline@dominionchurch.org or call the church at 281-554-3600. Thanks for joining us.